Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe, Text Number 3. Yad Yasmin Nantare Brahman Bhagavan Vishva Bhavanaha Kritavan Kurute Karta Yatite Nagate Yava Yat whatever activities Yasmin in a particular age Antare Manvantara Brahman O great Brahmana Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishva Bhavanaha, who has created this cosmic manifestation. Kritavan, has done. Kurute, is doing. Karta, and will do. He, indeed. Atite, in the past, anagate, in the future, adya, at the present, ba, either. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O learned Brahmana, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in the past manvantaras, is performing at present, and will perform in the future manvantaras. Purport in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said that both He and the other living entities present on the battlefield had existed in the past, they existed at the present, and they would continue to exist in the future. Past, present, future always exists, both for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for ordinary living entities. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Both the Lord and the living entities are eternal and sentient. But the difference is that the Lord is unlimited, whereas the living entities are limited. Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of everything. And although the living entities are not created, but exist with the Lord eternally, their bodies are created. Whereas the Supreme Lord's body is never created. There is no difference between the Supreme Lord and His body, but the conditioned soul, although eternal, is different from His body. So this is good news. We're different from this body. Any questions? So we'll go on reading. Sukadeva Goswami said, in the present Kalpa, there have already been six Manus. I have described to you Swayambhuva Manu and the appearance of many demigods. In this Kalpa of Brahma, Swayambhuva is the first Manu. So though we're in the Manvantara of Vishvata Manu, and in this Manvantara, Purandara is the Indra, and we have demigods like, I guess, Vibhu, Gandharvas, etc. So it's not always like that. It's not that Indra is always Purandara. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And one day of Brahma is Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, or yet Brahmano Vidu, Yatra Yuga Sahasrantam, Teho Yatra Vidojana. 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day. So each Manvantara lives for approximately, I think, 71 something yuga cycles. So Indra only lives for 71 point something times 4,300,000 years. And then he has to leave. And who knows where Indra went It said that one time, each one of us was a Brahma or a highly placed demigod. And here we are now in Slovenia, trying to stay awake in the Bhagavatam class. One time we were ruling over the three planetary systems, and now we don't even have our own house. So that's the nature of the material world, is that one moment you're thinking you're a god, the next moment you're thinking you're a dog. In any case, we never become God and we never become a dog, but that experience is enough to keep us conditioned in the material existence, which is exactly the same as watching a movie and actually believing that we're actually taking part in the movie. Now, we're certainly experiencing this movie, this virtual reality that Krishna has created for us, because that's what we want. And if we want to be ourselves, our real selves, by the practice of devotional service, then Krishna will take us out of this virtual reality. Take us out of it means he'll change the nature of our present existence from being illusory to reality. The more we become an instrument for Krishna, the more we utilize our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, then the more we become Krishna's instrument, and the more we become aloof from the workings of this gross and subtle material body. They become spiritualized, and what we do is we can see Krishna delivering the conditioned souls, utilizing our body, mind, and words according to his direction. Prabhupada gives the example that if you have a coconut and it's unripe, you can shake the coconut and you can't hear anything. But when the coconut becomes ripe, that the bottom, the inner part of the coconut falls out, and if you shake it, you can hear it. So right now we're attached to the material existence, and if you shake us, you won't hear anything. But when we become more advanced in devotional service, and we become detached from the material existence, then the soul separates from the body, and no longer is governed by the rules, no longer is experiencing a material body anymore, he's experiencing Krishna, even in the form of his own body. He sees that his body and everything else, everyone else, is non-different from Krishna, and Krishna is directing everything. Therefore, in any circumstance, without fail, he remembers Krishna, because he doesn't see anything as apart from Krishna. Just like when we see the shoes, on the street, we're not very much impressed by them. It doesn't help us remember anything. But if we see the shoes of our child, then at once we feel some affection for the shoes because it helps us remember our child. Similarly, when we see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, then we'll feel affection for everyone and everything because we feel affection for Krishna. And that's transformed everything in relation to Krishna. So here, manvantaras are being described, the past, present, future. Actually, there is no past, present, future, because 5 billion years ago, people were eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Presently, people are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, as well as other things like taking birth, growing old, becoming diseased, and then leaving their body to take another one. Punas charvananam. And in 5 trillion years from now, because I'm an astrologer, I can predict that people are going to eat, they're going to sleep, they're going to mate, and they're going to defend, and they're going to go through birth, death, old age, and disease. The same thing that's happening right now in the present will happen in the future. Now people are thinking they're making progress. Surely they're making progress to hell. There's no doubt about it. Technology is not progress of human consciousness, of higher consciousness. It's simply another toy that they're playing with, a more sophisticated toy, another aspect of virtual unreality. Therefore, instead of making progress towards reality, awakening themselves, they're simply asleep, going deeper asleep, thinking that they're actually enjoying more in the material world. Well, actually, there is no enjoyment as long as we're suffering from old age, disease, and death. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyagrajati bhutani sani sha pashuto mune. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. What is nisha? Nisha means what is awakening. When we wake up, it's called nisha. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. What is the time of awakening for all living beings? Yanisha sarvabhutanam. Yasham jagrati bhutani. Jagrati means, no, it's the opposite. Yeah, it's the opposite. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. Yanisha sarvabhutanam yasyam jagrati bhutani tasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashuto mune. So it is the time of, what is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and what is time of awakening for the self-controlled is the night for all sentient beings. In other words, for the self-realized person, he sees everyone in the material world like in a deep sleep. Trying to enjoy happiness through sense gratification and simply winding up deeper and deeper in sleep. Not really getting the happiness they're searching for, but imagining that they're making progress. That's called illusion. For instance, sometimes I give the definition of illusion. When you're doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result, and you think the next time I'll do it, I'll get a different result, that's called madness. So everyone is doing the same thing over and over again, the same eating, the same sleeping, the same mating, the same defending, but they think this time is going to be different. This time they're actually going to enjoy. Something was wrong before. They didn't have enough knowledge of how to enjoy. Now they've become more experienced, more learned, and now they figured out how to enjoy in the material world. Just give it one more try. So that's the illusion that Maya has put everyone into. And we can see Maya is quite strong. She, in a sense, she's creative. She can arrange earth, water, fire, air, and ether in such a way as to make us think that this is different. So now, Kumara, let's see. When, what was his name? Kumara. Who's Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Gop Kumara. Gop Kumar. He's going everywhere in the universe looking he's looking for Gopal Krishna. And he's going through all the planetary systems and he's saying that actually there's a problem everywhere. But the same attraction is there wherever he goes. He's thinking, I become a king. But he wasn't happy. Now I become Indra. He wasn't happy. Now I become a sage on Mahaloka. He wasn't happy. Now I become a meditator on Janaloka and I'm not happy. Now I become Brahman. I'm Brahma. I'm not happy. Now I merge in Brahman. I'm still not happy. Now I'm on Mahashiva Loka. I'm not happy. Now I'm in Vaikuntha. I'm not happy. So he gave up from becoming a king, to all the way going up to past liberation to Mahashiva Loka. He was liberated from the material concept of life. Although he always kept his same cowherd body wherever he went, same cowherd dress Then he became spiritualized. Still he wasn't happy. So even when one becomes liberated, one is in Vaikuntha, if one is not aware of one's actual spiritual identity, or if one is aware of one's spiritual identity, just like Gop Kumara, he knew that he was related to Gopal, the coward boy in Vrindavan, but he was in Vaikuntha. So he wasn't happy in Vaikuntha because he knew who he was. He was in a place which is unlimitedly blissful forever, but he wasn't happy because he wasn't in his natural position. So it's not just we haven't arranged all the material energy the way we like, and if we could do that, we'd be happy. As in the example of Gop Kumara, even everything was perfectly arranged the way we'd like it, we still wouldn't be happy, because we'll only be happy when we have revive our relation with Krishna. Other than that, whatever the material circumstances are, will never please us. And even when we got out of the material circumstances and we become liberated, we still won't be happy, because we won't necessarily have our relation with Krishna. Only when we actually wake up and realize who we are and start performing those activities in relation to Krishna. And when Krishna accepts us, that actually, he accepts us, that actually that's who we are, and that's what, and he gives us the opportunity to do our service to Krishna. Now people want to do service to their material body and material circumstances that they're under. They think that will satisfy them and that will help them. That's a way of progress. But actually, it's shravan evi kevalam. Because without waking up to our relation with Krishna, everything else, except for those things that help us make progress towards our relation with Krishna, anything besides that is a waste of time. Therefore, Krishna has given us the entire Vedic literature. So to help us, if we're not always so much focused on reviving our direct relation with Krishna through the ninefold processes, that at least we can do those activities which will help us make progress towards accepting those ninefold processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Sakyam, Vandanam, Atmanivedanam. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, what's the best thing you've learned in school? And of course we've heard Prahlad said, the best thing I've learned in school, my dear father, is that you're a number one fool. Tatsada manye suryavarya deinam sada samud vigna diyama satgrahat hitvatma patam griham andukupam vanam yato yadarim ashvieta. But then Prahlad Maharaj said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Then he said that this is the most valuable thing. We may be rich, we may be poor, we may be influential, we may be so many things, but if we perform these nine different processes of devotional service, then we'll wake up, whatever our external situation is. We'll wake up to our reality, our own identity, the identity of Krishna, the identity of everything. And then we can actually become happy. Otherwise, we'll just be, whatever we're doing, hopefully, we'll be doing something at least that will take us to the mode of goodness, so we can actually understand that there's nothing better than hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering him. Bhavanam janmanamante gyanamam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha. After passing through many births and death, one who is in knowledge of me surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So even we're neophytes and we're engaged in neophyte consciousness, still we should understand that when Krishna does take away our distress, we should appreciate Krishna. When Krishna gives us a nice position, comfortable situation, we should appreciate it. When Krishna gives us knowledge, realizations, we should appreciate it. And when we become liberated from our material concepts of life, we should appreciate it. so that we can actually engage in pure devotional service and not hanker for either freedom from material distress or material comfort or knowledge or even liberation. We can just hanker for Krishna's lotus feet, service to Krishna and his devotees, being stable on the transcendental platform, and enthusiastic to perform the ninefold processes. Now that these ninefold processes, sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. When I like them, I come to class or I come to the program. When I don't like them, I don't. If the speaker tells a few jokes and keeps me awake, then he's a good speaker. Doesn't matter if I walk away remembering anything or not. At least I laughed a little bit, so increased my appetite. No, we have to walk away from class. We have to remember something about Krishna, something new that we haven't heard before, so that life is meaningful, that it becomes spiritualized. So, now we're going to hear about the Manus and Swayambhuva Manu, etc. Past, present, and future. We may think if I was a Manu, if I was Swayambhuva, then everything would be much better. But we'll find out in the next verses. Swayambhuva Manu, he didn't like sense gratification. That's why he was the Manu. He didn't become Manu because he wanted a better position. He became Manu because he tried to get out of material position. The more we hanker for material happiness, the more we become degraded. And the more we hanker for spiritual happiness, then the more we become elevated. And the symptom of hankering for spiritual happiness is that we give up our desires for material advancement in any sense of the term, either grossly or subtly. And we simply become more attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna and to the actual performance of devotional service as a mature Vaishnava, not just hearing and chanting about Krishna. And our normal day activities, we are free to do whatever we desire. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. It seems that things are pretty similar from life to life and from a trillion years to another trillion years. Isn't it too boring for Krishna to come as an avatar? How does Krishna enjoy coming again and again?
Well, Krishna, when he comes, he remembers his pastimes in the spiritual world. He doesn't become affected by what's going on. All the avatars remember Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. So they're in the spiritual world and not in this world. And besides that, that Krishna's pastimes are always fresh. Krishna lives in the eternal present, in the spiritual energy. So everything is ecstatic, whatever he's doing. When he comes in his different avatars, he's not thinking, I did this before. It's always new and fresh. It's always slightly different also. It's not exactly the same. There's always new souls to save. So for Krishna, it's always fresh and new. And for those taking part in Krishna's pastimes, it's fresh and new also at every moment. Because it's engaged in personal loving relationships with his devotees. Not with simply some earth or water. It's Krishna's energies, external energies. It's with his internal energy. Anything else?
Please tell us one joke.
Well, that's a joke. Anything else? Yes.
For us, Manu's position seems rather puzzling and enigmatic after the first one. Okay, the first one came and gave us some Manu Samhita or something. And what do the subsequent Manus actually...
It's very hard to understand because sometimes it appears that the emperor of this world, which I guess is Bhumandala, so it appears that Manu is specifically for the earthly planets. He doesn't seem like, I mean, for the Bhumandala system, doesn't seem like he has much to say about Indraloka or the higher planets. He seems to be ruling over the Bhumandala system. So like Priyavrata, he was able to drive his chariot and carve up the Bhumandala system, etc., etc. So, more than that, doesn't really say very much. Of course, always it's always appearing to us, you know, Swayambhuva Manu or Chakshusha Manu or whatever, or Vivashvata Manu. They're just like, you know, they describe this planet as some little globe, you know, Europe, whatever, and you wonder, you know, what's the big deal with these people? But actually, we have no idea what they're talking about, because we have no idea where we are. Nor do we understand, you know, what the situation of different ages are. We don't even understand where we are now, what's going on. Therefore, the conclusion is we don't know very much. But we don't have to know that much. All we have to know is that knowing everything about what's going on in the material world won't help us very much. Because we'll still be here in Slovenia, no matter what's going on in the universe. So we better chant Hare Krishna and try to go back to the spiritual world so that whatever is going on there, that will actually be significant for us. I would do it to Roy. He didn't ask a question today. Oh, okay. Well, one less than yesterday.
Well, first question is, if previously the brahmanas doing sacrifices were very qualified and pure, how is it that they could not stop Kali to start his influence?
Because they weren't so pure. They got contaminated. It said that when the demigods were fighting on the shore of the ocean of milk with the demons, many of the demons died. I guess probably a few demigods too. But because they were, comparatively to us, they were quite advanced, and they fought in a, quote, religious war. And they died, they took birth as Brahmins on this planet. So one of them was Sringi, and he cursed Pariksha Maharaj, and Kali Yuga started, which led to the degradation of the Brahmanas. So previously the Brahmins were purer than they are now, but gradually they became degraded due to the influence of Kali Yuga. And that's what we have now, Brahma Bandhus, for the most part. Therefore Prabhupada had tried to come and start the process of creating Brahmins, those who are actually in Brahman. But that's a process that's still going on. Bring us to the platform of Brahman.
And there is a second question. How Brihad Bhagavatamrita can say that Goloka is behind Vaikuntha and above it? All realms are unlimited.
Behind Vaikuntha? I never heard that. Did you ever hear Goloka Vrindavan? I always heard it was above it. Did you ever hear it was behind Vaikuntha? Where is that? What's that?
It's probably what it means, that it's above.
Behind? Didn't he say behind? Mm-hmm. What does he mean by behind Vaikuntha? It's Goloka Vrindavan is supposed to be above, whatever that means. Anyhow, it's above us. That's all. It's a long way. Yes, anything else?
Yes, there's a third question. Can you say something about various types of realization? This word realization sounds so mystical.
Well, if you're in dark and someone turns on the light, you realize a whole lot. So, realization is Vedanti tat tat vad vidas tat yajgaram avyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. Real realization is when the light of knowledge is turned on and we realize we're eternal souls, then we realize that Krishna is controlling, we see Krishna everywhere, his paramatma is how he's controlling the whole universe, including us. And then we see Bhagavan, Krishna is the original form as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. That's called realization. It's like at night you're dreaming you're a bird. You wake up, then you get the realization, I'm not a bird, I'm a so-and-so. So that's realization. Experience. Yes.
Maharaj, despite realization and getting all the knowledge as you...
Well, let's say we have a little bit of realization and just a little bit of knowledge. If we had all realization, all knowledge, we'd be in a very nice state of consciousness. I mean, even a little bit of knowledge, Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma, we'd always be joyful. We never lament or hanker for anything. We see all living entities as spiritual beings and we'd serve them accordingly. So that's a little bit of realization. Then we can begin real process to get real the full realization, which is bhakti. So the question is, how much realization do we really have? How much we are above the material concept of life in such a way as we're always joyful in any circumstance. And in no time, under no circumstance, we ever hanker or lament. And we always treat everyone as a spiritual soul. We always treat them as Krishna would want us to treat them. We're never under the influence of our material concepts and our material moods and whatever else. That's a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah, that's I wanted to say because, but yeah, that's why probably I wanted to ask because in the mind, in subtle body, there are simple shots, pictures, at least in mind, which promise some sense, enjoyment, but they're without content, but so compelling, so powerful.
Yeah, well, I have movies going on. You just have snapshots. I have all dramas going on.
But it's a snapshot, no content, but so powerful because, according to some association, it promises.
Well, at least it's a snapshot rather than a 3D movie going on. So you're lucky. Yes.
You mentioned technology as toys, which is very apt. What if somebody is very attached to some kind of technology? Can we, and Srila Prabhupada always says that if it's here, it's also has an origin in the spiritual world. Can we offer some computer addict that there is a Vaikuntha for him where he can program for the whole eternity some fun stuff?
No, they don't need computers. Their brains are much better than any computer in the spiritual world because they're in love with Krishna. And they remember Krishna's pastimes all the time. The original personality of Godhead or his plenary expansion. So they already have implanted in their heart the pastimes of Krishna. So there's no better thing to watch than Krishna's pastimes in ecstasy all the time. They're much above all these computers. Prabhupada said there's a television in our heart, it's just broken. So once we repair that television, then we have the best computer going on. Okay. Hvala. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.